Welcome in to Arrowhead Pride Radio.
Emma Holmes is on fire!
Here's the editor-in-chief of Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens.
All right, powering along. Long day. The drive extended. Just kidding. This is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio with myself, Dusty Likens, Pete Sweeney, and Blake with you as well. Up until 7 o'clock, Ron Kopp will join us at 6:15, and then you know the greatest part of the night on Wednesday, it's Yo Pete, where you get to ask Pete any sort of question you have regarding this team. No, he cannot dress up for a wide receiver or protect Travis Kelce any more than we already have seen. So it is a Wednesday night, post-Christmas, pre-New Year's. Pete Sweeney, you've been up here about as long as I've been up here today. Good to see you, my man. Hope you had a good Christmas with all your family and loved ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. We're through Christmas and now on to New Year's Eve coming up, and we'll be celebrating that at Arrowhead.
I was really surprised that you weren't the cliche guy that proposed on Christmas Eve. I was really thinking this was the year.
Yeah. Well, look, there's always next year.
There's always New Year's too.
Right.
Because if I see a Snapchat or if I see a Instagram story and you're at like Capital Grill. I'm putting all my money on the Sweeney parlay.
Is that on FanDuel? Can you bet that on FanDuel?
I think it's an overseas bet.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's a Bovada situation.
Yeah, you gotta know a Bovada before you Bovada. Because that could get there, man. You know the flannel might get tied down, but
you're in a good mood.
What gives?
It just seems like you're just in a great mood tonight.
I'm always in a great mood.
Yeah.
Why am I ever in a bad mood?
Well, tough game this past weekend.
I don't care.
You didn't care.
What does it affect me?
Yeah.
If they lose in the playoffs, you know what that means?
What's that?
More after hours.
Yeah.
You know if they win in the playoffs? More after hours.
Yep.
Yep.
So
I mean, like, just do you, boo.
Pretty soon it's going to be baseball season, less after
and
hours.
And then I'm gone. Yeah,
that's
then
it.
Then you never see me
anymore.
See
you in October.
Maybe Pete's just surprised because you have been labeled the most negative person on radio. So.
Right. I was. Yeah.
You know.
They said you're such a downer every time.
It does feel like you get down low.
Well, if we're talking about, anyways.
In the weeds.
Okay.
In the weeds.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, this is Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Chief Editor Pete Sweeney with us until 7, and then we're both out of here and ready to celebrate the new year. Pete, let's talk about that game a little bit.
Okay.
And I know that you were on with Carrington because I was on with Carrington today. That's got to be rock bottom, right? Like, that's the bottom of the well, of the pit, of whatever this season has been, will be, is going to be. That has to be rock bottom?
Well, it needs to be, or else they're not going to do anything in the playoffs, or even worse, which, you don't even want to talk about that alternative. And so it has to be. This has to be the rock bottom, or, everything that they talk about off season, leading into the season, throughout the season, the ultimate goal, all that it's for naught.
Mm-hmm.
And, you think about what happened against the Raiders. I think what was different about this particular game for me was just the fact that it was everybody on offense. I think you could look in previous games and you could point to a specific thing, and it's been different things every week. A lot of the theme this year has been the turnovers and the penalties, which has been a consistent thing. But usually there's one player or one moment where you can blame and say, hey, this was probably the reason. If they had this, then it would have been a better day.
Mm-hmm.
This was a complete and utter failure, for the offense. I mean, it was 55, 56 minutes of just a terrible performance from the offensive line onward. The pass catchers couldn't get open. I don't think Patrick Mahomes played particularly well. The lowest graded game of his career. And so I don't know. I think it had to have come to a head. You can't really do any worse than the Chiefs offense did on Monday, which, mm-hmm. If you're trying to look at it as like a glass half full thing, they're going to play better next week because they have to. And so... You try to get these two wins. You try to feel like you're in a better place where you stop making these mistakes. And then you see what happens in a playoff situation where you're going to have to go on the road. We're pretty confident about that at this stage. If the Chiefs aren't going on the road, that means they're out of the playoffs this year because it seems like they're going to be the number three seed.
Speaking of that game, as we'll get to the injury report that was pretty large today for the Chiefs. We'll get to that here in a second. But you look at that game and you see the frustrations. And one of the kind of the takes that I kind of talked about on Tuesday was I'm okay with frustration when I guess it alludes to it or it's been a while or you have that point. But this is now three games in a row where we've seen the quarterback who rarely ever loses his cool unless it's his own self-inflicted wound. But the Buffalo game, the New England game, and now this game, there's been raw emotion. This is more than just drop passes. There's more to this than just this guy's dropping passes, causing interceptions. This is 3 weeks in a row where we've seen just raw, ranting emotion from Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and I think the frustrations have reached a peak, right? Like, and it's for everybody. I mean, you see that by extension with Travis Kelce. The defense is really doing a nice job with not leaning into the finger pointing. And, you know, I think a lot of that could be there's a lot of returners, and they know in previous years it was the offense that was carrying this football team. And so I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss myself. I just think they're just at a point where they don't recognize themselves. You know, and I think that you've seen a little bit of the out of character. Kelce's always had some fire to him, but it's been more in a negative fashion this way. You know, we've never seen Patrick Mahomes explode like he did a few weeks ago at the officials and some of those on-field frustrations as well. Andy Reid looks frustrated. The offensive line getting yelled at by Patrick Mahomes. It's just, we haven't seen this tough a year so far in the career of Patrick Mahomes. And what is crazy about it and what nobody wants to hear seemingly is there is still an angle where they could turn it around. It's just getting harder and harder to believe that they can actually do so.
It's a new week in the NFL, which means it's time to take a look at the new injury report for the Chiefs.
That's right. You hear that guitar, you start to air guitar it as much as you possibly can. This week's injury report, quite lengthy, and also there might be a little bit of a jet spark coming back to the team, per se. I don't know.
That could be. Mecole Hardman, still on injured reserves. This is the second week he's practicing, but he's a full participant. So he could be back in the mix, and you wonder if Kadarius Toney's status has anything to do with that as well. Second week in a row, he has his hip injury. Now he hasn't practiced for four practice days
Great.
In a row. So
that's good.
Doesn't seem to be trending in the right direction for Tony. There are four other injuries to note. Donovan Smith still out of the mix. I don't think Donovan Smith plays this week. He tried to give it a go last first day of practice, which was Thursday of last week. He did, and then he was held back the rest of the week. So it seems like he suffered a setback with that stinger. Isaiah Pacheco, I think it's a tall task for him to come back because it's a short week. Remember, there's one less day. It's a concussion. So very unpredictable injury, of course, but less days this week to get back. So I think you'll see another dose of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, at least right now. Concerning one here, Lajarius Sneed, looking like one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL. He did not practice today with a calf injury. That is the one to monitor. Jalen Watson, who would be the backup, has an illness. He didn't practice either, but you feel better about Watson. But to me, Sneed is the one to watch, Dusty.
And then the other side of the injury report, Cincinnati, they've got a couple big names on theirs as well that may not be playing on a short week either.
Yeah, I don't know. It just does seem like the Bengals are a little bit better of a situation injury-wise than the Chiefs. Only four names on the list. One of them's a big one in Ja'Marr Chase. Didn't play last week. Did not practice with the shoulder today, but he did do the walkthrough. So there is some slight optimism on Chase. Would be a very big break if Chase can't play for the Bengals in this game for the Chiefs. Another one to watch, cornerback Cam Taylor-Britt. He has been on injured reserve, but they designated him to return today. He put in a full practice, just like Mecole Hardman. So that'd be a big boost for the Bengals when it comes to their defensive backs. So I think the key injuries to watch this week, Pacheco, of course, Lajarius Sneed, and then on the other side, Ja'Marr Chase and what his status becomes.
There's no way that Ja'Marr Chase plays this game.
Well, he did the walkthrough.
But what does that mean? Like, does he have pads on? Is he getting? He's not getting hit. He's not. Nothing's like that is happening.
No, it's like a game plan of the plays, but you're not having any contact or anything close.
He
to
was
it.
In a sling 2 weeks ago. He didn't practice or play the week prior, and now he's doing walkthroughs on a Wednesday.
Hmm.
Okay.
DNP though.
Did not practice. For those of you that don't understand that.
A little football lingo.
Did Legarius need? So was there a moment in that game where that happened, where that calf flared up or something? Because I guess I don't remember that.
Could be a next day thing, a little bit of soreness, a little tender. The good thing about Snead, though, is he's good enough to just not practice all week and go.
Fair.
So could be precautious. I tend to think he'll get a limited practice in and go, but we'll see. He would be a big loss.
Well, Friday's the key day for those of you there watching the injury report.
Unfortunately, though, right, like, and this would be the dire of scenarios of like a Snead getting ruled out and somehow Chase not.
Well, that'd be nice.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, he would actually play?
That would be the
worst. Oh, that's a worst case scenario. Yeah. I just don't see how Jamar Chase can play. That's just me. I mean, I'm not trying to threaten his strength.
Dr. Likens over here.
Yeah. I got this. That's Pete Sweeney. Coming up on the other side, Ron Cobb Jr., their lead film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. Man, he's had so many tweets. He's dialed
tweeting
in.
Tweeting up a storm.
He's frustrated. He's interested. And he's got a lot of answers for us on the other
lab.
Side.
He's been in the lab.
He hasn't left the lab. He's been in the lab more than Binkley's been in the studio for the last 3 weeks. That's Pete Sweeney. I'm Dusty Likens. And for Blake as well, you're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Don't forget, later on in the evening, Yo Pete, 645-913-586-7610. Yo Pete, if you have questions about the Kansas City Chiefs football program, as they had... quite possibly one of the worst games I've ever seen live. I think I've probably seen the two worst live Chiefs games in the last 20 years. I saw that one on Christmas Day, and I saw the other one that it reminded me of is I don't know who the Chiefs quarterback was. It wasn't a good one, but they played Tim Tebow, and Tim Tebow, I believe, hit Eric Decker on a Hail Mary play almost, or like a deep pass on the left side, and they scored with like not a lot of time left. I think the final score was 7-3. It's terrible.
Beautiful.
That was the game where Tebow only completed three passes. Only threw three passes or completed three passes?
Something, yes. It was the worst game I'd ever been to, and then that happened on Christmas Day. But it is Wednesday night. It is past 6:15. We are now joined by one and only Ron Kopp Jr. Ron, first off, how was your Christmas? Second off, what in the hell happened on Christmas Day at Arrowhead?
Dusty, I was there too, and I can agree with you. And all I can say is the Chiefs are not, but ho, 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 I'm on fire. Shout out, Dusty. Good song recommendation from last week.
You liked it?
Yeah, no, I did. You know, it's not the wife's genre, so I can't say she, you know, it was super positive on her part. But, yeah, definitely better reviews on that song than the Chiefs game Monday, especially praise being there. Me. You know, I took 10 family members to that embarrassment, oof. Dusty. So just imagine me, you know, convincing all my family to come out Christmas Day, rainy, snowy, or, you know, cold, just to see that. So Chiefs owe me one or something, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like a freebie.
You need, like, sweet tickets to, like, a playoff game because you might only get one at this point. But in all seriousness, I've kind of followed you quite a lot this week because you've kind of dialed up a lot of different things that went wrong in a game where a lot of people – on other, you know, platforms, I won't say them, but they suck, probably wouldn't do the hard, diligent work that you have done. A lot of it was, and what we've heard, is maybe Mahomes took off too early, maybe there's lack of trust, and then there's the stat out there that MVS played 61 snaps and had one target, 0 catches, 0 yards, and it was just what we saw, a mess on the offensive side.
It absolutely was. And I mean, it started off right away. I mean, the first three drives were basically three and outs. The third one went 5 plays, but they got bailed out on a defensive holding and then proceeded to go 3 and out anyway. So first three drives, they get set back each time with you know, stuffed runs or false starts, right? Rice had a false start early. MVS was offsides early on a play that ended up in a sack. But Mahomes botched a handoff early on. That was my main thing here, was just, golly, the lack of details. It's been a thing all year, but this game especially, there was just something really just off about the play calling, in my opinion. You know, you're talking about one thing I highlighted, you know, in the podcast today was, you know, the touchdown run by Pacheco was awesome, right? Direct snap, great play design. The next time they had the ball on offense, they showed the same look with Pacheco in the backfield, not the exact same look, but Pacheco taking the direct snap. I think doing that back-to-back plays, you are kind of asking for a defensive lineman to just bull rush, and because it's going to be a simple cadence, it's going to be, you know, there's something to that. Or after the Clyde screen, right? One of the biggest plays of the game, finally the Chiefs offense had some juice. In the red zone, two straight plays where Kelce is getting a wide receiver quick screen. The first one got incomplete. They just went to the other side and threw another one, and it barely gained any yards. It actually got kind of tipped up and, bobbled for a sec. All that to say, man, you know, I just was not a fan of how the entire operation worked on Monday. And then you saw Mahomes today come out and talk about maybe his, you know, what he kind of did in terms of some pocket presence things. I think the pass protection early kind of rattled them a little bit and definitely settled in to an extent. But that Raiders pass rush was relentless, was furious. And Mahomes definitely, you know, could have helped. But I don't know. I think he was being a little hard on himself. I think that it was just tough on a rookie left tackle and the rest of the group with Max Crosby and company.
Yeah, we just posted your article to arrowheadpride.com talking to our lead analyst Ron Kopp from Arrowhead Pride. And you talked about how Mahomes embraced some of this criticism, some self-criticism today at the podium, just mentioning twice separately that he was drifting a bit and needs to get back to the fundamentals of his pocket presence and footwork. But you're thinking that maybe he was maybe just saying that to defend his offensive line, trying to instill confidence because he was okay in this game by your estimation?
Well, just in terms of the pocket presence, and in my opinion, I really do think there were times to be critical of himself, but it was more of so maybe not taking chances, maybe not, you know, staying, you know, and staying within the rhythm of a play, maybe taking off early. But just in terms of when he's talking about drifting back and stuff, I just feel like, you know, there were some plays where he had no choice.
Right.
You know, Wanya Morris was credited with 12 or 13 pressures by PFF's tracking. And, man, it was around the outside. It was to the inside. You know, that blind side, you know, Mahomes not maybe seeing it as well as maybe to his front side. That was really impacting him as the game went on, really, really negate, you know, really kind of impacting, you know, his just comfort in the pocket. And, you know, again, I think there were times where he scrambled up the field and got a first down, and it was great, and that was a good play. So that's not necessarily drifting back, but it's not staying in the pocket. It's not, you know, trying to stay within the play. And, you know, to your MVS point earlier, there were many plays where MVS was breaking open, and whether it was pressure, whether it was Mahomes just kind of, you know, not getting through all his reads, which he mentioned too. He also mentioned himself not getting through all his reads possibly being a problem. MBS definitely had some opportunities to get some passes in, and it just didn't work out. And that is kind of the weird part of this offense is there's just not a lot of opportunities for receivers downfield right now. It's really barren.
Where do you put the level of trust with everybody on this offense when you watch week in and week out? Because obviously last week there was the fumble right on the 25-yard line, touchdown, very next play, pick six. At that point, I believe the Chiefs had 5 minutes left in the first quarter, negative 18 yards. Helmets are getting thrown. Tempers are flaring. Is it just because there's such a high standard that this team is used to having, or is it just maybe there is just lack of trust or accountability throughout from what you see with play calling or with like the way they're getting to the line of scrimmage? What say you, Ron Kopp Jr.?
Well, it's a different kind of frustration than we've seen from the past. I think in the past we talked about Mahomes, you know, maybe showing some frustration or showing some, you know, maybe, you know, impatience when teams are forcing them to play, you know, with quick passes and play with the run because they're playing such too high and playing such soft defenses. That is the crazy part about the unsuccessfulness of the offense is that the Raiders, like this game specifically, teams are daring the Chiefs to beat them vertically. Safeties are flying to the line of scrimmage. You know, a lot of one high, a lot of cover zero looks and pass down situations. The Chiefs are not making defenses pay for it like they have in the past. And that's a big part of this is that, you know, the frustrations before is like, well, we just can't, we can't even, you know, get to those big plays because they're not even allowing us to. The defenses are actually kind of allowing guys to find vertical space, you know, if the Chiefs, you know, can manufacture or get to it. And it just does not seem like they're able to manufacture it, you know, whether it is just because the pass protection is just not trustworthy right now enough to do a deeper pass pattern. You know, that one to Richie James was really the only time you saw any sort of downfield completion this game, and that's been a theme for the offense recently. So, you know, that is a big deal, and it's why you're seeing the run game not succeed, because safeties can fly up and be that eighth defender in the box, and the Chiefs' run offense has been so predicated on running against light boxes. That's not how it's working right now, and it's really just messing up the whole offense.
You talked a lot about offense, Ron, and let's touch upon the defense. Another solid performance for most of the game. Weren't able to hold the Raiders on that last drive when it came to getting the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. Does the defense and the defensive performance in that game and really the whole year give you any kind of hope now heading into these final 2 weeks that they could right the ship ahead of the playoffs?
I mean, it would be a legendary run, right? If it really did, you know, if it was backpacked on Steve Spagnuolo, this unit that is just playing super well, just a guy like Charles Omenihu, who Caleb wrote for the site, is just coming on. And if you're talking about all the other guys we all know on this team, if Omenihu can also be a really productive pass rusher, I mean, you have a lot of options. I think Spag was honestly holding some stuff back. You know, I don't think we've seen as much of the creative pass rush packages in recent weeks because he just has trusted his guys to win straight up, and you know, they're doing it. I mean, obviously they had no part in losing that game on Sunday besides that last drive, which, man, it's tough, you know, right? Nick Bolton probably could have made, you know, a pretty, you know, a really nice play if he would have shot the gap a little harder on that 42-yard run on the last drive. But all that to say, man, that defense held it up. That pass rush would have been relentless if they didn't get a 10-point deficit right out the gate, right? You know, I think the Raiders were kind of able to you know, negate the pass rush from that point. So, yeah, I think the Chiefs defense is ready to, you know, to try to support this team, but there's only so much you can do in an offensive league, right? And so I think it's still one of those things. You know, the offense needs to step up their game.
Well, Russell Wilson got benched for the final two games of the season. You are not getting benched at all for the final two games of the season. What do you got coming up this week versus when the schedule came out, this game looked like it might be fireworks and all of the above. Today, it looks like it just might be just do better than last week.
Well, yeah, I mean, Jake Browning, honestly, I mean, you gotta admit, I mean, dude has played pretty well. I know last week was just the Pittsburgh game kind of looked bad, but you know, this game's going to be a tough one, man. I mean, talk about a team that would love to spoil the Chiefs season. I mean, if the Chiefs lose this game and the Raiders and Broncos win, or one of them at least, I think the Raiders especially, you know, you're leaving that division title door open if you don't win this game against the Bengals. And it's largely the same defense, right? You know, that the Chiefs have struggled against, right? They're missing two safeties, which I do think is a big deal. Von Bell and Jesse Bates are no longer a part of the team, but yeah, no, I that's the thing, man. This is going to be a competitive game, and there's a lot of pressure on the Chiefs to kind of get it done this Sunday, or you got week 18 kind of, you know, possibly with the division still up for grabs if they struggle with this defense Sunday.
Well, Ron, take care. Take care of everything over there at Pride. Have a good new year, and we'll talk to you, I believe, next Wednesday about what is after the result of the Cincinnati and Kansas City Chiefs game, and have a good one, my man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Ron Cobb Jr., lead film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. Surprised he had time for us, as much time as he's been in the lab this week. But don't forget, Yo Pete, your questions at the end of the show, 913-586-7610. It's Yo Pete, as we'll get into the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. But on the other side, we'll see if Pete still has some belief that this team can get to that point by the end of this game on Sunday. It's Pete Sweeney. It's Blake, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Don't forget, after this show, you get that betting show with Alex Gold live from the new sportsbook at Hollywood Casino.
I was out there today.
How was it?
It was great.
It looked more like a bar. I didn't, like, when I think of sportsbook, I think like a little like nook in the back. It looks like a big ass place, man.
It was cool. If you'd been out there before, they kind of had like a temporary setup, and they really enhanced it. I mean, there's TV after TV after TV. There's kiosks. There's little ways to gamble. You know, with those computer games, as you're watching the sports, they got this big screen that you can split into 12 different games at the same time, and I'm thinking about like March Madness weekend or something like that. So
we should do that.
It's cool that Alex is out there tonight. I had a good time this morning. I got to see a little sneak preview of it, but I believe it's open as of right now.
A little sneaky Pete is what you got there.
Sure.
Okay.
Keep firing.
Yeah, you're fired. This game Sunday, man, I don't know. I have no idea what sort of angle to take. I mean, I'm going to do Cody and Gold on Friday. 10-2, and I have no idea where I want to put any sort of emphasis in this game because of what was last week, what this season's been. It's week 17. Clean it up. Fix things. We'll be fine. It seems like a bunch of smokescreen, and I don't know if I just need one game or two games or what I need for expectations moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough right now. I think there's a lot of fans and people even covering the team that are just writing off the season. And as much as, you know, you want to look at last game and say to yourself, well, it's over, that's not how it works, right? Like, they still got to play two regular season games. And it doesn't seem likely that suddenly this is going to be an offense that puts everything together and ticks on all cylinders. But it's possible, right? I think you can have two efforts here where you finally do have less mistakes. You finally do have less penalties. You finally have control of a football game, and you match what the defensive effort has been, and you go into the playoffs with some confidence. And you should be, if this goes the right way, in the right direction, things break your way, you're not playing a team like the Buffalo Bills in the first round, you're still going to be in a position at home to win a wild card game. And then you kind of see where things are at 3 or 4 weeks from now. You know, I think it's such a Super Bowl or bust situation here in Kansas City, so it's easy to just get down on them because it's not that level of excellence that we've seen for so many years in a row. But there are still two games left to figure something out, and we'll see what they can do with the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, the Chiefs have had the Bills at home, lost. Philadelphia at home, lost. Detroit at home and lost. This is another, I guess, big matchup that really lost a lot of smoke. I think once Joe Burrow went out and we knew that we weren't going to get that Burrow-Mahomes sort of whatever, and Cincinnati's kind of fought with their fingernails to kind of stay in the playoff picture.
Right, right, right.
Is this, like, I know we hear a lot of, like, oh, Cincinnati, they still hate the Chiefs, they still want to be, is there not that same, you think there's still that same, like, vibe with the Chiefs towards Cincinnati, or is it still the Chiefs are that much more focused on getting themselves right that they don't even want to talk about what this potential rivalry game might be?
Well, it's completely changed. And I think that happened with the injury to Joe Burrow.
Mm-hmm.
From that point forward, this was never going to be the same type of thing because you take away the quarterback and it's a different team. I mean, you could say that about any team, that you remove the starter and it's not going to have the same juice. Like, instantly the Bengals went from what was one of the AFC contenders, even with a slow start, to one that would have to really fight through adversity to even make the postseason. And not really in the classic threat, you know, when it comes to facing the Kansas City Chiefs. And on the Chiefs side, the Bengals aren't as much of a worry because they're just worried about self-improvement at this stage. And so I think the rivalry part of the game has lost a ton of juice, but you can make a case that the importance is greater than it's ever been. Because rather than playing for the top of the AFC, it's like almost playing for relevance of having a chance in the postseason. And that's more important, right? In a way. It's feeling good about yourselves going into these AFC playoffs.
Speaking of feeling good, this game is Kansas City Chiefs -7.
Yeah.
The betting degenerate myself seems that as of right now, I feel like you should hammer Cincinnati +7. Like, right. I feel like the Chiefs would just be happy with, you know, zero turnovers and win this game 13-10. Defense is dominant again, but you didn't turn the ball over. You held time possession and you got out of town. Vegas, it seems like Chiefs are winning this game 27-10 or 27-20, something like, you know, maybe not 20, but like somewhere around there, it's a touchdown victory by the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you believe in that? Or would you go more so like, maybe this is one of those times where it's like, I think the Chiefs will win, but I definitely don't think they're going to win by 7.
Yeah, I don't know. The NFL is strange, right? Like, you have a week where early in the year, the Jets beat the Eagles randomly, or you even see last week where I think there was a contingent of people who cover the sport that just felt like the San Francisco 49ers can beat anyone and they would never be pushed around. And then the Baltimore Ravens go in and do what they did. And I look at what happened at Arrowhead on Monday. Like, I think there's an overreaction that happens week to week. And individually, you start to feel a certain way about a team based upon one game. And football games can be weird. The football is not shaped in a regular size. Like, there are bounces of the game. It's like it's a game of inches. Sometimes I think a better team can lose to a worse team because the problems start to snowball in the first quarter. So Vegas looks at this, and I think it takes in the reaction of everybody. And, you know, the way that Vegas operates is based on a lot of information, and rather than a simple gut reaction to what happened on Monday, Vegas probably looks at it and says, well, it's Patrick Mahomes versus Jake Browning. It's still Patrick Mahomes versus Jake Browning, right? And yeah, as bad as the Chiefs are playing, they think that's good enough for a touchdown. And if you like really think about back to the good old days, you know, like on Sunday, like that does make sense. And Vegas doesn't react like maybe our human brains do, which is why they win more than the people play. And so I don't know. For me, it's a little much for my liking. However, I would put it, if I'm Joe Bookmaker, I think Chiefs minus 6.5 makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. A little maybe, but I don't think it's as drastically wrong as maybe people are saying when it comes to the line.
Just seems tough. Last week, I think they were favored by 10, and I ran into our buddy Sean Barber, and I was like, I think they're going to blow them out. Like, I don't know what it was. I was completely wrong, but I was like, I think they're going to blow them out. I think this game is just Chiefs.
You thought
like
Chiefs blowing
out
on Christmas.
I thought it was like 30.
Merry Chiefsmas.
I thought it was like 31-10. You're not losing this battle. Like the last time you played them, you went on a 34-3 run. Like, and it just didn't happen. And now you get Cincinnati, you know, a team that has I guess both teams have everything to play for at this point, because you are having a legitimate conversation. The Chiefs might possibly or could possibly lose out on the playoffs if they don't win their division. Not only that, the one seeds that are still alive are Baltimore, Miami, and Cleveland.
Right.
So, I mean, it just seems tough, man. 7 points against Cincinnati, that ought to be pretty, pretty interesting. Coming up on the other side, it's Yo Pete, 913-586-7610. Don't let me ask him all the questions. I've got five or six. This is your time to shine, Kansas City. Yo Pete, 913-586-7610. We open up the Arrowhead Pride mailbag on the other side for Blake, Pete. I'm Dusty. Listen to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We're back on Arrowhead Pride Radio. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Blake with you as well. Coming up on the other side of this show, the house that Alex Gold built. The Barstool Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. That he built that thing, man, from the ground up.
Well, apparently they had to reach some things. He's tall and can reach to certain places.
Yeah, he's like 6'3".
That others can't, and so he helped with that as they were building it.
Mm-hmm. He's like the gambling breaking news guy in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think that he probably knows what he's talking
about.
He
hates Missouri, as you can tell, because they don't
he's
have it.
He's definitely – I wonder how he's feeling about having to work today after that game. Was it started at 8:15 last night?
Yeah.
He's a guy that
– a lot of personal fouls.
Over under on a bet on that, 4.5 hours of sleep for one Alex Gold.
Under.
Under?
He slept at the new sports book.
Hmm.
Went straight there.
Must be nice.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
It's time for Yo Pete. 913-586-7610. It's my favorite time of the night. Whoa, Yo
easy.
Pete.
Yeah, take it easy.
Sorry, I did grip the microphone there really, really hard. Sometimes I get aggressive. Wow. From the 816, Yo Pete. How many of these current receivers do you think will return next year from the 816?
Sunday, or you got week 18 kind of, you know, possibly with the division still up for grabs if they struggle with this defense Sunday.
Well, Ron, take care. Take care of everything over there at Pride. Have a good new year, and we'll talk to you, I believe, next Wednesday about what is after the result of the Cincinnati and Kansas City Chiefs game, and have a good one, my man.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all.
Absolutely. Ron Cobb Jr., lead film analyst over at Arrowhead Pride. Surprised he had time for us, as much time as he's been in the lab this week. But don't forget, Yo Pete, your questions at the end of the show, 913-586-7610. It's Yo Pete, as we'll get into the Arrowhead Pride mailbag. But on the other side, we'll see if Pete still has some belief that this team can get to that point by the end of this game on Sunday. It's Pete Sweeney, It's Blake, Dusty Likens. You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Don't forget, after this show, you get that betting show with Alex Gold live from the new sportsbook at Hollywood Casino.
I was out there today.
How was it?
It was great.
It looked more like a bar. When I think of sportsbook, I think like a little like nook in the back. It looks like a big ass place, man.
It was cool. If you'd been out there before, they kind of had like a temporary setup, and they really enhanced it. I mean, there's TV after TV after TV. There's kiosks. There's little ways to gamble, you know, with those computer games. As you're watching the sports, they got this big screen that you can split into 12 different games at the same time. And I'm thinking about like March Madness weekend or something like that. So
we should do that.
It's cool that Alex is out there tonight. I had a good time this morning. I got to see a little sneak preview of it, but I believe it's open as of right now.
A little sneaky Pete is what you got there.
Sure.
Okay.
Keep firing.
Yeah, you're fired. This game Sunday, man, I don't know. I have no idea what sort of angle to take. I mean, I'm going to do Cody and Gold on Friday, 10 to 2, and I have no idea where I want to put any sort of emphasis in this game because of what was last week, what this season's been. It's week 17. Clean it up, fix things, we'll be fine. It seems like a bunch of smokescreen, and I don't know if I just need one game or two games or what I need for expectations moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough right now. I think there's a lot of fans and people even covering the team that are just writing off the season. And as much as, you know, you want to look at last game and say to yourself, well, it's over, that's not how it works. Right? Like, they still got to play two regular season games. And it doesn't seem likely that suddenly this is going to be an offense that puts everything together and ticks on all cylinders. But it's possible, right? I think you can have two efforts here where you finally do have less mistakes. You finally do have less penalties. You finally have control of a football game and you match what the defensive effort has been. And you go into the playoffs with some confidence. And you should be. If this goes the right way in the right direction, things break your way, you're not playing a team like the Buffalo Bills in the first round, you're still going to be in a position at home to win a wild card game. And then you kind of see where things are at 3 or 4 weeks from now. You know, I think it's such a Super Bowl or bust situation here in Kansas City. So it's easy to just get down on them because it's not that level of excellence that we've seen for so many years in a row. But there are still two games left to figure something out, and we'll see what they can do with the Bengals on Sunday.
Yeah, the Chiefs have had the Bills at home, lost, Philadelphia at home, lost, Detroit at home, and lost. This is another, I guess, big matchup that really lost a lot of smoke. I think once Joe Burrow went out and we knew that we weren't going to get that Burrow-Mahomes sort of whatever, and Cincinnati's kind of fought with their fingernails to kind of stay in the playoff picture.
Right, right, right.
Is this, like, I know we hear a lot of, like, oh, Cincinnati, they still hate the Chiefs, they still want to be, is there not that same, you think there's still that same, like, vibe with the Chiefs towards Cincinnati, or is it still the Chiefs are that much more focused on getting themselves right that they don't even want to talk about what this potential rivalry game might be?
Well, it's completely changed. And I think that happened with the injury to Joe Burrow. From that point forward, this was never going to be the same type of thing because you take away the quarterback and it's a different team. I mean, you could say that about any team. They remove the starter and it's not going to have the same juice. Like, instantly the Bengals went from what was one of the AFC contenders, even with a slow start, to one that would have to really fight through adversity to even make the postseason, and not really in the classic threat, you know, when it comes to facing the Kansas City Chiefs. And on the Chiefs side, the Bengals aren't as much of a worry because they're just worried about self-improvement at this stage. And so I think the rivalry part of the game has lost a ton of juice, but you can make a case that the importance is greater than it's ever been. Because rather than playing for the top of the AFC, it's like almost playing for relevance of having a chance in the postseason, and that's more important, right? In a way, it's feeling good about yourselves going into these AFC playoffs.
Speaking of feeling good, this game is Kansas City Chiefs -7.
Yeah.
The betting degenerate myself seems that as of right now, I feel like you should hammer Cincinnati +7. Like, right. I feel like the Chiefs would just be happy with, you know, zero turnovers and win this game 13-10. Defense is dominant again, but you didn't turn the ball over. You held time possession and you got out of town. Vegas, it seems like Chiefs are winning this game 27-10 or 27-20, something like, you know, maybe not 20, but like somewhere around there. It's a touchdown victory by the Kansas City Chiefs. Do you believe in that, or would you go more so like maybe this is one of those times where it's like, I think the Chiefs will win, but I definitely don't think they're going to win by 7.
Yeah, I don't know. The NFL is strange, right? Like, you have a week where early in the year the Jets beat the Eagles randomly, or you even see last week where I think there was a contingent of people who cover the sport that just felt like the San Francisco 49ers can beat anyone and they would never be pushed around. And then the Baltimore Ravens go in and do what they did. And I look at what happened at Arrowhead on Monday. Like, I think there's an overreaction that happens week to week, and individually you start to feel a certain way about a team based upon one game. And football games can be weird. The football is not shaped in a regular size. Like, there are bounces of the game. It's a game of inches. Sometimes I think a better team can lose to a worse team because the problems start to snowball in the first quarter. So Vegas looks at this, and I think it takes in the reaction of everybody. And, you know, the way that Vegas operates is based on a lot of information, and rather than a simple gut reaction to what happened on Monday, Vegas probably looks at it and says, well, it's Patrick Mahomes versus Jake Browning. It's still Patrick Mahomes versus Jake Browning, right? And as bad as the Chiefs are playing, they think that's good enough for a touchdown. And if you like really think about back to the good old days, you know, like on Sunday, like that does make sense. And Vegas doesn't react like maybe our human brains do, which is why they win more than the people playing. And so I don't know. For me, it's a little much for my liking. However, I would put it, if I'm Joe Bookmaker, I think Chiefs -6.5 makes a lot of sense. A little maybe, but I don't think it's as drastically wrong as maybe people are saying when it comes to the line.
Just seems tough. Last week, I think they were favored by 10, and I ran into our buddy Sean Barber, and I was like, I think they're going to blow him out. Like, I don't know what it was. I was completely wrong, but I was like, I think they're going to blow him out. I think this game is just Chiefs.
You thought
like,
Chiefs blowing out on Christmas.
I thought it was like 30.
Merry Chiefsmas.
I thought it was like 31-10. You're not losing this battle. Like, the last time you played them, you went on a 34-3 run. Like, and it just didn't happen. And now you get Cincinnati, you know, a team that has I guess both teams have everything to play for at this point, because you are having a legitimate conversation. The Chiefs might possibly or could possibly lose out on the playoffs if they don't win their division. Not only that, the one seeds that are still alive are Baltimore, Miami, and Cleveland.
Right.
So, I mean, it just seems tough, man. 7 points against Cincinnati, that ought to be pretty, pretty interesting. Coming up on the other side, it's Yo Pete, 913-586-7610. Don't let me ask him all the questions. I've got five or six. This is your time to shine, Kansas City. Yo Pete, 913-586-7610. We open up the Arrowhead Pride mailbag on the other side for Blake, Pete. I'm Dusty. Listen to Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to Arrowhead Pride Radio with Pete Sweeney and Dusty Likens on your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We're back on Arrowhead Pride Radio. Pete Sweeney, Dusty Likens, Blake with you as well. Coming up on the other side of this show, the house that Alex Gold built. The Barstool Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino. He built that thing, man, from the ground up.
Well, apparently they had to reach some things. He's tall and can reach to certain places.
Yeah, he's like 6'3".
That others can't, and so he helped with that as they were building it.
Mm-hmm. He's like the gambling breaking news guy in this town.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think that he probably knows what he's talking
about. Hates Missouri, as you can tell, because
he's definitely. I wonder how he's feeling about having to work today after that game. Was it started at 8:15 last night?
Yeah,
he's a guy that a
lot of personal fouls.
Over under on a bet on that, 4.5 hours of sleep for one Alex Gold.
Under.
He slept at the new sports book. Went straight there.
Must be nice.
Every week, send us your questions on Twitter at Arrowhead Pride and at 610 Sports KC. Now it's time for the mail.
It's time for Yo Pete. 913-586-7610. It's my favorite time of the night. Whoa, Yo
easy.
Pete.
Yeah, take it easy.
Sorry, I did grip the microphone there really, really hard. Sometimes I get aggressive. Wow. From the 816, Yo Pete. How many of these current receivers do you think will return next year from the 816?
Yeah. it's a good question.
Two.
Definitely Rashee Rice. Right. Sky Moore, still under contract. I do think they keep him on the team and see if he can kind of hit the reset button and play some kind of role. He can. You get the rookie contract. I see Watson coming back. Tony's an interesting one. He's still under contract, but you do wonder if the organization washes their hands of that. MVS is not here. I don't know if Richie James is here. So I'm going to conservatively say three of these fellows. The ones I'm pretty sure about are Rashee Rice and Sky Moore.
Okay. Okay. From the 913. Yo, Pete. Will this upcoming draft be mostly offensive picks despite some of the defensive needs they'll have?
Yeah, I think you have to fix the offense. I think that has to be the priority first. If you're going to win championships here, it's going to be with Patrick Mahomes being maximized, and he's not at this stage. And that being said, I think the team does a really nice job going into the draft of having some kind of starter that could play on day one at each position. So you could kind of go into the draft, take the best player available, but I don't know. This, and I've said it before, this seems like one of those off seasons that's going to be a correction off season, you know, like we saw from 18 to 19 with the defense, 20 to 21 with the offensive line. I think you got to go and get some pieces for Pat.
Okay. All right.
Pat's pieces.
Yo, Pete, from the 816, how much of these issues do you think are on the coaching staff or coaching related?
Well, we'll find out because Andy Reid in the past has been unafraid to make coaching moves when it becomes dire. And I think this season offensively kind of fits the bill. And I do think you see some movement there. What the details are in that, you know, I don't know. And it takes a lot. You know, Andy Reid's a loyal guy. It takes a lot for him to make a coaching move. But I do think that this will be shaken up a little bit just to get some new voices in there next year. Because, you know, what happened this year can't transpire again.
Yo, Pete, from the 816, is Joe Tooney done after this season?
Well, there is an out for him in 2024. It just depends on the build of the offensive line. I'm not 100% sure that he's done. You would be taking on some dead cap if you moved on from him. His contract does run through to 2026. We'll see. It's been pretty good for the Chiefs, but I think they're going to be unafraid to make any kind of move, and I don't mean this to be a cop-out answer, but I think they're going to be unafraid to make any kind of move to make sure they put a better team on the field next year. And if that requires making some tough decisions with some of these veterans where they can find ways to save salary cap space, I don't think they're going to be afraid to do that.
Yo, Pete, from the 785, what are the chances of signing T. Higgins, as we'll have a little bit of a show of him on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that's a dream signing, a dream signing scenario. I think the Chiefs are going to be really smart with their cap, but they're also going to make sure that Mahomes has, you know, a proper number one receiver, if you want to call it that. I think Rashee Rice can be one of those guys. Maybe it's like a 1A, 1B situation. But you need two legitimate options here for that to even be a chance for that type of scenario. So that would be a good fit. And we'll see if he ends up being the apple of the Chiefs' eye, as they say, Dusty.
Would you rather have T. Higgins or Michael Pittman Jr.?
I think T. Pittman is great as well. I think T. is a better player, you know, for me. I think this regime has done a really nice job of working with the player, A, that they like, but B, making sure that the contract that they're willing to accept kind of fits in the long-term plan for flexibility. And so, you know, some of that stuff we're not privy to necessarily in the negotiations are going to come into play.
But I think pure player, I'll take T over Michael Pittman at this stage.
Yo, Pete, from the 201, as much as I love Chris Jones, any thoughts of not giving him contract and get two good skill position players on the offensive side?
Yeah, yeah. I think, and this is an unfortunate part to this season, I think you're looking at the final days of Chris Jones in the Chiefs uniform. Really great here. Really has come into his own. I think when they couldn't come to that agreement last year, that kind of spelled the end for both sides. If you're asking me how is the scenario of him leaving, I think the Chiefs end up tagging him, because remember, that's still an option in the rework deal, and then trading him, like we saw them do the opposite way with Frank Clark. So you're getting some compensation back, and you can get some of that money off the books, and then it becomes George Karloftis' show, and you got to draft a defensive tackle or find a defensive tackle that can do the job inside and still manage to get pressure on the opposing quarterback. It's tough. It's going to be tough to replace Chris Jones. I think that's the reality, but in the grand scheme of the team's build, it's probably going to be end up being the best option for Kansas City. I think Jones knows that. I mean, if you've listened to some interviews with him, you know, unfortunately, and it's a bittersweet conversation, right? Because he wants his money, but loves to play here, loves winning the championships here. I think he'll end up moving on after this season.
Starting to get festive towards the new year. Yo, Pete, usually I want to dive into X's and O's, but what's Mahomes' New Year's resolution? Wrong answers only.
I don't know. What do you think it is?
I want some time off.
Yeah.
My New Year's resolution is to have some time off in January.
I've played too many playoff games these past 5 years.
My New Year's resolution, I want to play a home, I want to play an away AFC championship game.
I want my ankle intact this year.
I don't want to have an injury right before the playoffs.
Right. No turf toe, no high ankle sprain. I'm not going to get injured before the postseason.
Wrong answers only. Yo, Pete, what is the best breed of dog?
Oh, it's a golden doodle.
Oh, because you have one?
A gigantic brown golden doodle would be the best breed, of course.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You have any New Year's resolutions? Do you do those?
Yeah, no.
I'm going to get in the gym.
Yeah, I try to do some things I like to emphasize. Like I want to read more books at night rather than watching football and shows. Mm-hmm. I want to, for the 10th straight year, get in shape would be nice. Maybe eat a little healthier is a good thing. What about you?
Just continue to be, a better person.
Yeah, you need that.
Yeah.
You know, no offense, but
I'm just saying.
You're a pretty lousy human.
Yeah, right. No, I don't know. Just be a better example of, of a human being. Try to be nicer.
Yeah.
More positivity.
Yeah, dude. Right.
Don't get so down, man.
Yeah.
This is after hours, not the negative Shaq.
Nah, dude. I just,
Right.
Keep thriving in life. Keep enjoying every day doing this job is what my New Year's resolution is.
Smoke more cigars and have a few more
pops. I'm not
a
cigar guy.
Yeah, you see, that surprises me. You come off to me as a cigar guy.
I don't like the smell, and I'm going to want to inhale it, and I
would think that you would like the smell and you'd want to inhale it.
No, I do want to inhale it, but you're not supposed to.
Mm.
I really, really, really want to.
Mm.
All right, man. What do you got going on the rest of the week?
Same as usual. We'll keep you updated on this injury front. The Chiefs have 5 injuries here, and the key one to Legarius Sneed, so we'll keep you updated on that front. Get you ready for this Chiefs and Bengals game. Ron Kopp mentioned it. We got some good stuff up there today, so take a look and keep locked in. ArrowheadPride.com, our podcast network, the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network.
Coming up on the other side, it's Alex Gold. It's That Betting Show live from Hollywood Casino and the new sports book. It's Alex Gold, That Betting Show, Goldie Locks, all the good stuff. He's a TV guy now these days, too. You could have seen him on Sunday night if you stayed up. I'm Pete Sweeney. I'm Dusty Likens. That's Blake. This has been Arrowhead Pride Radio on 610 Sports Radio. Good night, Kansas City.